We all do amazing stuff, and we never ever give ourselves enough credit for it. And I think if you actually do that, then you realize that you have got strength and fortitude and perseverance and whatever else it is that you need to actually go forward with that big idea or that plan that you've got. You've got it all there. It's just that we never actually see it because we very rarely take the time out to see it.
Mum2millionaire.com. Excel in business and life. Be a go getter.
You are freaking awesome. Did you know that? You're beautiful, you're talented, you're amazing. It's Veena V here, the founder of Mum to Millionaire. This episode today, not only are we going to talk to the amazing Julia Bramble about what it's like to run a business and have six children. Yes, she's got six children. We are also going to be talking a lot about Facebook. So if you're kind of seeing people on Facebook, you're seeing people doing Facebook ads and you're just like, what the hell? Should I be doing this as well? Julie is going to give you some tips on what she's done and what she does with her clients as well. So make sure you keep listening for that. Plus, from now until the end of October, I'm giving away a little bit of a freebie. And to my knowledge, I don't think anyone has ever done this. So when you buy one of my courses from now until the end of October, you will get a free tripod. And that's with free postage and packaging as well. So even if you live in Australia, America, and you want one of my tripods, this is the chance to get it. And the reason why I'm doing this is because I've noticed that a lot of people talk the talk. They say, oh, I want to get on Facebook. I want to start doing live videos. I want to start doing YouTube videos. And they're so determined and motivated. Is that you? Be honest. Is that you? You're like, yes, I'm going to do it. But then you never end up taking action. So I thought in my head, not only are you going to get this course where you're going to finally feel confident, you're going to be like, yes, I can finally make these live videos, whether that be on YouTube or Facebook or any other live streaming platform, I'm also going to give you a free tripod. So you can pop your phone in there, it fits any phone, and you're just going to be set up. So I'm giving you the chance to now have no excuses, because you're going to get the knowledge and then you're going to get the one piece of equipment you really need to start making your videos for social media and YouTube. If you want that offer, just go to mumtomillionaire.com/YouTube, buy that course, and you will get sent out a free tripod. mumtomillionaire.com/YouTube. And that's all you gotta do. Now, without further ado, let's get into this 67th episode of the Mum to Millionaire podcast.
mumtomillionaire.com. Excel in business and life. Be a go getter.
Today on the show, you are going to love her so much. She's a social media expert. She writes for publications like Social Media Examiner, a business growth advisor, and wait for this, she is a mum of six. Yes, you heard me correctly. Please welcome to the show, Julia Bramble.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to be here.
You're such a lovely woman. I first met you at Social Media Day in London. We were both speaking. You were speaking, and mate, I love how you did your presentation about Facebook.
Oh,
you made
you.
It kind of like a little story. And I was there talking about YouTube. And obviously when I watched you, I was like, wow, she's really cool. And then I found out that you had six children, and I was just like, I just can't understand, Julia. Like, how are you running this business and you've got six children? It's just like, I really, really, really struggle with one child. And I just
believe that for a moment.
No, Julia, I do. But I just can't comprehend, like, how do you do it, Julia?
I don't know. I literally just muddle through. I do get asked this question quite a lot, I suppose, not surprisingly. But I literally say that I don't know. I just muddle through. I just focus on what has to be done at the moment in time, I guess. Because that's quite good, actually,
as a first. Just like, okay, don't worry about the dinner. Just focus what we need to do now.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. I mean, it does mean to say that sometimes I find myself washing up at 1 o'clock in the morning. But, you know.
Oh, no.
that is the reality, I think, of it as well. And before we get on, because this podcast is going to be all about kind of how you are managing in terms of time management with all the children, the finances, even just running your business around all your children, because they're from 8 until 20, the age range.
Yeah.
That's like, you've got it covered, Julia, from like the age ranges of every possible thing, like SATs are probably going on, teenagers, the university. Before we do get into that, how did you even, because you're focused mainly on Facebook, I know you do a lot of other social media stuff. How did you first get into that? Because some of your results for clients have been amazing as well. And that's why I like you, because you're not just saying, go everyone, go on Facebook.
Yeah.
Be consistent. Do Facebook Live. You're actually directly working with people and actually getting results for them as well, which I think is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I have to say, I don't necessarily have a lot of time for people that just speak about doing stuff and don't actually do it, either for themselves or for clients, because... yeah, how do we know it's actually going to work?
Yeah.
I got into it actually because I worked, I don't know if I talked about this in the presentation when I met you, but I worked, before I did this, I worked in science. So I was a forensic scientist. About 15 years. Now I had to train up and do the casework side, analyzing cases and stuff. I didn't really want to be in that side. I was kind of brought in to do R&D, so to bring new technologies into forensic science. So I did that a lot and I loved it. But sadly, the organization I worked for wasn't that brilliant in terms of working with its customers. So it was a great lesson in how not to deal with customers, basically. Mm. And eventually they had to restructure. And after I left, about 4 years after I left, they actually... stopped, had to close the business because it was a government agency and they didn't have customer awareness. So I was looking for, when they were restructuring, I was looking for a way out and something else to do. And I really, really wanted to work around the children because obviously I'd started my career before I had children. And then I found myself in that awful kind of pull situation. So I love what I was doing, but I also love my kids and I just felt guilty the entire time.
Oh,
horrible. You know, that mum guilt thing.
Yeah, I think we've all been there. I used to feel guilty even when my son used to go to school. And I was like, hey, this is over the top now.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy, isn't it? I don't know where that mum guilt comes from. But I had it like all the time. So I was looking for something to do around the children. So I was on the list for a lot of franchises because I thought, well, I want to do something for myself, but I want it to be secure. So I maybe want to look at a franchise. So I ended up getting a lot of stuff through about small businesses and marketing and all that sort of stuff. And I was quite naive to all this. So I actually read the emails that came through, right? They didn't just end up in some folder. I read them. But at the same time, my oldest was all over Facebook like a rash because she'd started to reach that age where it was the thing. And the two just kind of collided, literally, in my head. And I realized there was a lot of opportunity. Businesses were just getting onto social media. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I'd loved in my previous role was kind of taking the tech side and making it simple for people to use and training them up. So everything just sort of came together.
I love that story. Yeah. I love it. I'm always so interested in how did someone get into something. And that's just a fabulous way. And in terms of, obviously, there's a lot of mums that listen to this also run their business at the same time. And is Facebook ads for everyone? Is it as easy as what we're seeing on social media? Because so many times because I haven't even ventured into Facebook ads at all yet. I shouldn't say this to you. She's the wrong person to talk about this. But I'm just seeing like all these amazing stories. But then there's the cynical side. I'm like, is it really that easy to do?
Yeah. What you need to do is you really need to be aware of the person that you want to attract with your ad. Same as any social media and same as the video that you obviously excel in. And that's where a lot of businesses get it wrong, because they think about Facebook ads, and for some reason, I don't know what it is, but they think, oh, I'm going to put a Facebook ad behind it and it's going to make someone want to buy my stuff. And how can Facebook ad, which is just a mechanism for delivery, how can it change what's going on in the human brain? It can't, right? Yeah. So it's just like printing an offer on a flyer or whatever else. If people wouldn't buy it from a flyer the first time they saw it, they're not going to buy it from a Facebook ad.
Yeah.
Right. So that's rule number one. But what you can do with Facebook ads, of course, is you can combine them with beautiful media such as video. You'd be so onto a winner if you did it.
I know I really should.
And you can go back to the people that actually consume that media in the first place, whether it is a video or a blog or just a post that you put on your Facebook page. You can go back to them again using the power of Facebook ads and talk to them again. So you can start to actually build up that rapport and that relationship. So that's really where the power of Facebook ads lies. And actually, if you can get that straight, then yes, they are relatively simple to use and get results from. But if you just use them as a way to go out there and try and sell your stuff the first time someone meets you, then nah, not going to work.
Yeah. Okay, great. I'm glad we talked about it, Julia, because maybe that's given some hope to everyone out there. But no, I think we should all look into that.
Yeah, they are absolutely brilliant. But do look into that retargeting side, which is what I've just been talking about. And where it's at the moment is Facebook ads and video.
Yeah,
gotta be done.
And what is your take on Facebook Live? Because I've actually seen a lot of people do a Facebook Live on their page and they then made that into an advert on there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've done the same thing. Facebook Live is great because it is, to use that horribly overused word, it is really authentic. Yeah. So we all know that you can create a video and put it up to YouTube, as you do brilliantly, but you can edit it and polish it and do what you want, can't you? And the same with a video if you upload it natively to Facebook. But Facebook Live is warts and all, and I think that's what people are craving these days. Yeah. They've had too much of that polished marketing. So it still is a really, really good channel for building relationships with your customers. But yeah, putting a bit of money behind a Facebook Live by running it as a Facebook ad can be a really useful way to just get your Facebook Live out in front of more people. But of course, you can also use ads to actually promote the fact that you're going to be doing a Facebook Live. Yeah. So this is my take on it. If you do a Facebook Live, then it gives you a chance to really interact with your audience and engage with people there and get them to respond to you. And that's actually where the power of Facebook Live lies, I believe. But if no one knows you're doing it, then you kind of miss out on that whole side of it. So I would think about using ads to actually promote that you're doing it in the first place, as well as maybe promote the replay after.
Julia has just already given us so many tips that we can go and implement now. But I really agree with you in terms of Facebook Live, that I think so many people put so, especially when it comes to YouTube, everyone's putting so much pressure on themselves because they're seeing all these amazing, I don't want to say it, but younger people like doing these really super polished, like zoom graphics and doing all this kind of stuff. When I actually really enjoy watching live videos, because as you said, that we need to find another word that means the same as authentic. But it is, like, I quite like it when someone makes a mistake or when someone, I've had the, you know, sometimes I'll be doing a live video and my son will just like crawl into the room. But people really resonate with that. Yeah. So I think it's a great way. So guys, get on and contact Julia because she is here to help us with that. But yeah, let's talk more now about how you're obviously managing your business, teaching other businesses social media. And like we mentioned at the beginning, the age range of your children, it is vast. So it's not like you're just dealing with teenagers. You've got a 20-year-old, you've got the 8-year-old. When it does, just what is, I know there is no normal day.
That's right.
there is no normal. I hate when people ask that question. Run us that, through your typical day. I was like, typical day. But I mean, I just don't know what to say to Julia. Like, how are you doing this? Maybe you could give us a glimpse of, so today I'm guessing, I know your daughter has just gone to university.
Yeah.
And you've got five of them left at home. Is everyone quite self-sufficient now? I mean, do you try and wake up before everyone, or is everyone kind of doing their own thing? And how does that
work? Yeah, I've actually got two at uni now because my oldest is in her third year at uni and my next one down just started. So, but they're both on FaceTime a lot, which is really nice. So it still feels like, because otherwise, it's horrible. Don't even go there. The separation when is horrible. Don't think about that.
Okay, sorry. We won't talk about that. I did see one of your posts the other day and I felt so bad.
I was like,
stay strong, Julia. Come on.
Oh, it's awful. But yes, so mornings are interesting. Actually, I've got three now at secondary school and thank goodness they all do seem to be fairly self-sufficient in terms of getting themselves up and out the door. But I mean, there was a stage when I was getting four of them to primary school and, you know, and I had a toddler and a baby and it was just absolutely crazy. So in those days, I would get up at six to make sure that I was up in time to boot them all out the house and get their packed lunches and stuff like that. So the mornings these days compared to that
a breeze.
Yeah, quite frankly, I only have to make a packed lunch for one and get him out the door and get him down to school. But the others, quite often they might need a run to the bus stop or something in the morning, yeah, or something like that to help them out, or they've lost their PE kit, or, you know, usual.
Yeah, but usual.
Or they claim that they put something in the washing pile and I haven't done it, you know, all that kind of last minute. That last minuteism. And then they're out the door and I get a few hours to myself in the house, which is kind of crazy because I still can't believe the summer holidays are finished. I still keep expecting to have to go down to the beach or something. I'm still in that mode. And then, yes, it's all home again. And then the evenings is when it kicks in, really, because my daughter does 5 dance classes a week. So we're kind of ferrying her around the place. And then at secondary school, when they run clubs after school, there aren't, in our area anyway, there aren't late buses. So you have to go and pick them up if they want to do clubs after school. So we've got 2 after school clubs we have to pick up from. And then there's the swimming lessons and the music lessons. And
wow.
Yeah, that's the bit that's kind of more tiring, because then you're trying to figure out where you're going to put in tea time and when you're actually going to have time to cook and all that kind of stuff.
And in terms of like organizing, like I struggle, like I said before, to even remember like a simple thing, like it's parents evening today. I'll be walking to school and they'll be like, oh, what time is your appointment? I was like, what appointment for what are you talking about? So you have some kind of system, like is there like one diary you just look in every day, or are you just on your phone? Is there like a calendar you put up so everyone knows what is supposed to be going on? Or is it just like a...
They're useless, right? Don't rely on children to tell you anything about what is important or happening at school. You have to find this information out for yourself. Relying on them is useless, or you'll find out a week later. So no, I try and get the information, then put it straight on the Google Calendar so I know it's there and it will ping me. I mean, maybe it's only half an hour beforehand and you're never going to get there, but at least you do get pinged at some point in time. That's the only way I can do it, is have it all in one place. But yeah, I have to take responsibility for that, because otherwise, no hope.
It's not going to, nothing's going to happen. And in terms of when, like you mentioned before, when you had like the children at primary school, you had the baby and the toddler. Again, was there anything, I know this is really weird for someone to be interviewing you about this, but I think it's really interesting because for mums who aren't in that situation, and maybe they've got the one child and they're thinking about having more, but they're just like, like I was saying to you before, like I would love to have more children, but I actually don't know if I could go through that again. Just going through the baby years, and now's a kind of a different thing with my son, where it's more emotional stuff you have to deal with, and the school side of stuff, which is a whole podcast in itself.
Yes, it is.
But in terms of, you know, I just don't know if I could do that. I mean, again, were you very big on routine? Like, how did you get through when they were all much younger?
When they were all much younger, I was really big on routine for the first two, and giving them naps and stuff like that. And then my third one just didn't sleep at all during the day. So any idea of routine went out the window.
Yeah.
And after that, they were really just being shoved in the car or up the road to wherever the other kids were going. So again, their routine just had to fit around the older ones. But to be honest with you, the way I found to deal with it all was just to do what needed to be done, and sod the books that said you shouldn't sleep in the same bed as your baby, and sod the books that said they've got to have this length of nap in the day, and all that sort of stuff. Just worked out what I needed for me really to get through the day, and what they needed as well, and worked through it that way.
I think that's a really good advice, is don't overstress about what's going to happen tomorrow. And you said it before, just deal with now. Like, what is really happening now in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. Like my two youngest ones, when they were still really young, they were staying up and having the same bedtime as the older ones, because there's no way I was going to spend my entire evening doing bedtime routines, right? They all went at the same time, because otherwise, you could lose from like 5 o'clock till 9 o'clock at night just trying to get children to sleep. And they would wake up again anyway when the older ones came thundering upstairs. So, okay, they woke up later in the morning, but you know, that's perfect. Yeah. That was the way I worked it. So all this kind of, I don't know, contented baby and getting them to cry through the night and all that sort of, none of that, I'm afraid.
Like, no, just the easiest life possible.
Exactly.
I think it's really good for you to say this stuff, because I think there is a lot of pressure on when you're seeing people on TV and say, right, you need to do this. Like, if I do have another child, I think I would be not a complete different parent, but you just learn. Yeah. Because I was literally reading the book when my son was sleeping. I was like, right, now put my hand on his head. And push him. I was like reading it word for word. But now I know that you can just be a bit more free, and every parent is different, aren't we? And every child.
Yeah, every child is different. And I think the biggest thing is just to trust your instinct. And I think maybe first time around, we think we don't have any instinct, but we actually do. Maybe it's just a bit harder to find sometimes, but it's definitely there. And we do know, like, you know, you can tell when your child's ill before they know it themselves, almost, you know.
Exactly.
We've all got it.
And in terms of like your own emotional well-being and sanity as a mum, because again, I crumbled many days where I just go in my son's room on the floor. I'm like, oh, I can't deal with this anymore. Now that is for you maybe times six.
Yeah.
How do you, I mean, has there been any specific times throughout the years where you have literally just been like, I don't know if I can do this, or when everything's got too much for you?
Yeah, I used to get physically exhausted when I was running around after the little ones, literally. My husband got in from work a few days and literally found me lying on the kitchen floor because I was just like running around, like changing, because I used to walk to school and I'd be like walking to nursery and changing nappies, and like I had two that I was changing nappies for at the same time and stuff like that, and breastfeeding as well and stuff. It just was crazy. And I did get a really bad chest infection like once. It just laid me low for a week. And I think that was just everything saying, you've got to rest. But when the doctor said, oh, you've got to rest, and I'd gone, I've got five kids, I just laughed in their face.
I'm sorry, mate, that ain't going to happen.
Exactly. And now, a bit like you, I'm supporting them. I mean, there's a physical, like running around and washing up and cleaning up after them and stuff like that. But I'm supporting them probably more emotionally.
Yeah.
And that can be more difficult in its own way, because it's got to be on their terms and it's got to be when they deem it's right. So yeah, support from that side, or taking time out from that side, really is for me probably going and spending time with another kiddie who's quite happy at the time, in a way. I've got my own little therapy center set up
with a different child, isn't it?
Yeah, and luckily I do live near the sea, so like 10 minutes actually can set me right as well.
I was about to say that, in terms of, you know, when it is getting too much and you just need time, because we, I think as mums, we do need that time for ourselves.
We do.
Is that for you? Do you recommend like just going somewhere, like you've got the beach near you, do just literally go for a walk and you're like, bye everyone, I'm just going by myself.
Yeah, and I remember the days with the babies as well, you know, like when you've got a baby and it won't stop crying for whatever reason and you just, you want to scream yourself. Like for me, the best thing always to do with that as well was to bundle them up and stick them in a pushchair and like go out for a walk. And I don't, you know, I don't think that's changed for me personally. So I think a change of scenery
is
an amazing thing, whether you're by yourself, whether you go and have a coffee and a large slice of cake somewhere.
I like that idea. And in terms of kind of, you know, you're running your business now, how would you schedule your work week? Do you maybe take a few days, I don't know, like a Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, where you're just gonna be meeting clients? Or do you try your best to schedule like meetings and stuff for one specific day if you need to go somewhere? How does that kind of all fit in with the children as well?
Yeah, it's interesting, because until probably about a year and a half ago, I was doing a lot of networking and maybe meeting up with people for coffees and stuff like that. And I find that I've just scaled that right back now. Yeah. And I do as much as I possibly can on the phone or on Skype or whatever else. So I very rarely actually go out for meetings, just because, well, where I live, it's going to take me probably 45 minutes to get to Exeter, which is where people want to have meetings generally. Yeah. So like it's an hour and a half before I've even met up with somebody. So without a very good reason for meeting them, you know, that's like half a day that could have just disappeared. So I would much, much rather just have a phone call or whatever. So I mean, if you're in the same boat and you're really time starved, then, you know, maybe think about that yourself. And also with networking, I mean, it's so much easier just to talk to people online. I mean, I know it's great to meet people face-to-face at events and stuff, but they can, you can combine everything there. If you choose the right event, you can network with a gazillion people. You can almost, you can contact them online beforhand. So if you want to meet particular people and build the relationship there, or you can meet somebody there on the off chance and then carry on the conversation online afterwards. Mm. So it's kind of thinking about those opportunities, but making them work maybe a little bit harder for you or a little bit smarter for you. And then in terms of the rest of it, I schedule each week as it suits what's happening at the time. So it could be that I've got to give a talk, so I've really got to knuckle down and spend a couple of days writing a talk, or I'm doing, say, some one-to-one to work with a client, say, in the middle of the week, and I've got to spend a day actually doing the prep work for that or whatever else. So it really does depend on what's going on at the time.
Yeah, it's a juggle, isn't it? To do it. And I think a lot of mums have said they try and involve their children if it's right. In their business somehow. Have you ever tried to, I don't know, give your, if you really had to, I don't know, write a presentation or you just needed that time, you know, that's kind of gone out of those school hours now. Have you ever said to them, I don't know, have you ever just been like, look, your mummy needs to just be in this room. Don't annoy me for 1 hour.
Lots. So when they were younger, I would like sit them at the kitchen table with a bit of Play-Doh for half an hour. Like, Play-Doh is brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. You can't get too messy with it. If they eat it, it's not going to kill them. Yeah, don't let them play with something that's going to make them ill. But Play-Doh seems to be fine.
I was about to say Lego, but then if you've got younger children, like my son used to put it in his mouth. Or I'll be like, what are you doing? Get it out of your mouth.
But when they're older, I find that if you actually say you've got to go and do some work, invariably they kind of toddle around after you. Whereas if you just like run away and escape for half an hour, they're like something, then you're much better off. But that seems to be my children anyway. But no, I do find myself working evenings and stuff, much as I would like not to. But like the time they get in after school is like the only time that you've really got to have a chance of time with them during the day. So I would rather make myself available then, really, and then carry on doing stuff in the evening. Because if you don't, then the day is, you know, it does get to be pretty short.
Yeah.
Really. So, yeah. But in terms of involving them with my work, when I was a business growth advisor and I was running meetings, I ran meetings in Devon twice a month for like local Devon business owners. And we would talk about, like, it was almost like a mastermind group, but I was doing it on behalf of another organization. So I used to bring my eldest along to actually help me set up and help me like take notes and all that sort of stuff, and that was brilliant. And I mean, she was really good, she was really helpful, but she also learned a lot from the business owners in the room about what it was really like behind the scenes. So that was great. And now because I'm in tech, it kind of makes me quite a cool mum. Like my little ones are they've got their own YouTube channels and they're all like into YouTube and stuff. So I managed to show my 11-year-old like how to tag. Is not that I do it myself, as I've just been saying, but how to tag all his videos and SEO them and stuff like that. And I think he thought I was the coolest mum ever, and we talk about things like that.
That must be a good feeling. Yeah. Like I could teach my son, my children, something about social media.
It won't last long because they'll just like zoom off into the future.
Yeah.
But it means I can talk about stuff that is actually vaguely relevant to them. And if I get excited about a new development, VR or something like that, then we can kind of talk on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think I could be totally left behind by all this stuff otherwise.
Exactly. And it is quite scary as well how it's like for us, it's like we're learning it. But for them, it's like they've not, like my son, we're on YouTube and he told, I didn't even know this, that you can fast forward by tapping on it. And I was like, I didn't even know you could do that. And did you not know that? I was like, no.
Like, and it's like, how do they find this stuff out, you know?
I don't know. Find that out is amazing. Okay, and also in terms of finances. Now, I know it's not cheap.
No. To have
six children. Again, was it a lot of kind of passing the clothes and toys down? Even in terms of, I don't know, in terms of like, do you still try and save a specific amount of money every month to like, like for example, me, this month, I've got to pay out £2,000 to get a new boiler. Now, if I did not save that money, like a little bit every month to have my ISA, I would literally be like crying right now to Julia. In terms of things like that, is like, what has been your approach to the finances, as it were?
In terms of the kids, I have passed a lot of clothes down and toys, and we've still got toys kicking around, to be honest with you, that should have been passed on to somebody else by now. So that's a whole other side of it, the clutter that accumulates in your house. But yeah, I've tried to minimize that sort of stuff. But I mean, for me, a lot of the money actually gets spent on activities for them, like the dance classes or the music lessons and things that they don't get taught in school. And for me personally, I'm kind of glad we have made that investment, because actually for at least two of mine, it's something that they've now gone on to study. There's, you know, I've got my oldest is studying drama. That's not something that she picked up in school. That's something that, you know, we invested in running around out of school at times. So for me, that has been a priority. And my thing was always, I kind of said to myself, I'm not going to stop them doing something just because they're one of six. It's not their fault that they're one of six. So I still want to make sure that they, you know, to my best ability, that they've got all the opportunities that they would have, say, if they were one of one. So that's been my mantra, which has made it very expensive. But yeah, the money goes on them first, and we do try and save when we can, but it's not always possible.
Even in terms, I know this sounds silly, but even in terms of like food shopping, because for me and my son, we spend, so every time I go shopping, I think we spend like maybe about £100, and it's just the two of us. And I always, when I come home, I always think, oh my God, even if I had one more child, that would just go up so much. Or if I have a husband, it would be so much more money. So is your biggest expense, would you say, is it literally like grocery shopping?
Or? Yeah, I would say so. It is grocery shopping, usually, unless one of them needs a new computer, because that's the problem. When they get older, they end up actually needing decent computers and stuff that they can do homework on and university work on as well. So, but yeah, food is just crazy. It is just crazy. So I do end up like whizzing around different supermarkets, and we always run out as well. That's the other thing. So even if you get it all delivered online, by 2 days later with teenagers in the house, it's all gone. Of course, all the healthy stuff is still there, but everything else has vanished, you know, like a plague of locusts came in. So I do keep an eye out. My best friend is Lidl, because you can afford me for 40 quid at Lidl, and if you went like to Waitrose, that would cost you double probably. There's only some bits that I can get at Waitrose, but I'm lucky in a way because three of my children are vegan, and I'm vegan as well, so I cook a lot vegan recipes, so we do end up eating cheaper food because of that. So we're eating lots of veg, lots of pulses, lots of beans, and it means that kind of maybe the more expensive processed foods are off the agenda. And it's brilliant actually, because compared to probably a couple of years ago, they're all eating a much healthier diet as a result, because it's brilliant, you know. And I'm very happy to back them in, you know, in their beliefs. I mean, I've been a veggie for ages, and I've been a vegan off and on, but they're the ones who've forged ahead with this, even my 11-year-old. So
yeah,
really good for them, and I'm really happy to support them. So that does help. That really does help.
I think that's a good. We all need to go vegan, vegetarian.
Yeah, it's cheaper. Like, you know, a can of kidney beans is 60p. You know, and that can give you a shed load of protein. So actually,
you know, Julie, I think you've just given everyone so much to think about. And we've done Facebook, we've done, you know,
Facebook to kidney beans.
Kidney beans. I want to end on this slightly strange question. Because again, I think a lot of people, they think about having another child, but a lot of people don't go through with it because it is the time, it is the cost, it is just, if you're already struggling with one, you know, bringing one or, you know, two, three, four into that is just, I can't fathom it. If someone is thinking about having more children, like, we all know it's difficult, but does the rewards outweigh that tenfold?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. A gazillionfold. One of the loveliest things is seeing your children like interact with each other. And there's a moment in time with all of mine when they've kind of got through babyhood and they can start to actually communicate with the other kids, and you see them sitting there like having their own little conversations. It's like, it's one of those golden moments. It's really cute. And now, you know, now I've got my teenage girls, and yes, they kind of fall in and out of love with me all the time because but there's generally one that I can get on with. And, you know, we are actually friends, and we'll go out and do things together, which is lovely. But they go out and do things with each other as well. Like my eldest at uni is going to visit my second one down at uni. They've got their own relationship and their own bond. And my two youngest are boys, and they're almost like twins. They're so close, running around together, which is just like, so even if they don't always show their affection towards me, and that's a whole thing for another podcast as well, I think, isn't it, this kind of need for affection from your kids, so even if they're not doing that bit, they're kind of each other, and it kind of, for me, that reflects back, and I just think, wow,
that must be an amazing to see that. Even when my son just plays nicely with any child, I'm like, wow, I love you so much.
Exactly. For some reason, it's a really beautiful thing. Even though my son turned around to me yesterday and said he would much rather have had his birthday on a school day, because then he would have been with his friends all day, even though he'd have to get up really early in the morning, get on the bus and sit through all those boring lessons. He'd rather have done that than actually been with his family for his birthday. So despite all the messages you get back like that, there are actually some amazing times that make up for it.
And you touched on it then. It is, but it's really weird being, we go through so much, don't we? When you sit down and actually start thinking, you're like, oh my God, we go through so many emotions. But yeah, even the affection from your children, like even yesterday, my son was like, I'm the worst parent. He hates me. And I was like, even though I know he doesn't mean it, it still actually hurts my feelings. I'm like, why would you say that? Yeah. I'm like, I do so much for you. But yeah, and then after about an hour, he's just like, oh yeah, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And you've already hurt my feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
You already said that to me, like,
but they've moved on entirely, haven't they? They exactly. only remember it for a nanosecond, whereas we kind of keep it in here.
When he gets older, I'll be like, remember when you were 8 years old and you said this to me? He'll be like, no. I'll be like, well, it affected me for the next 10 years.
Exactly. You
needed me. Julia, I just think you're just incredible. You're so lovely.
Thank you. I'm so not.
No, you are. It's just, it really, I think when you're in, you're just living your life.
Yeah.
But you know, people, even with me, people be like, I don't know how you're a single mum. But I'm like, I don't, it's just normal, isn't it? It's just a normal thing. But it is incredible what you're doing. Be so proud of yourself, of your children. What is the last bit of kind of motivation you would give to a mum who is struggling? And maybe they do have a lot of children and they're just at that stage where they're literally like, I can't do this. Like, what would you, especially if they are trying to set up their own business and have that flexibility, what would you say to them to just make them so they just don't give up?
I would say the first thing you can do, and I think I do this a lot, but I hadn't realized that I did it, was look at what you have got and look at what you have done and be very grateful for what you have got and be proud of yourself, like you were just saying, for what you have done and how far you've got and whatever it is that you've been doing, because we all do amazing stuff and we never ever give ourselves enough credit for it. And I think if you actually do that, then you realize that you have got strength and fortitude and perseverance and whatever else it is that you need to actually go forward with that big idea or that plan that you've got. You've got it all there. It's just that we never actually see it because we very rarely take the time out to see it.
Yeah, I love that so much, Julia. Thank you so much. And where can we contact you?
I'm all over social media as Julia Bramble, at Julia Bramble. You can find me anywhere. I've got a website that needs a lot of work doing to it, so I went just find me on like Twitter or Facebook or Instagram.
Oh yes, we'll Julia do that Bramble. And we can see your beautiful social media posts and we can all get inspiration as well. Thank you so much. And if you want to find out more about Julia, you want to see Julia's links, just head over to the blog mumtomillionaire.com/episode 68. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
mumtomillionaire.com. Excel in business and life. Be a go getter.
Seriously, just wow. 6 kids, you're running a business. You just seem so lovely. Julia, wow. It's always that question of how does she do it? And this is a reason why we should be supporting other parents, other mums, other dads. We all go through the same challenges. This isn't a competition. We are all in this together. And I always cringe when I say that because it's a line from High School Musical. We're all in this together. Oh, I love that film. I think I might go and watch that a bit later on. But please support each other, inspire each other. We can all do this. We can all be successful together. I think we're always overcomplicating things and there's no need for that. No need. Really hope this episode has helped you. If it did, it would mean so much to me if you can write a review. I don't think you realize how much of a difference this can make to the iTunes ranking. Just go onto iTunes if you're listening to this on your phone and write a review of this podcast. It really does make a difference. And don't forget, from now until the end of October, if you want to get a free tripod, yes, it fits any phone, any compact camera, you could finally start making videos for your YouTube channel and social media. Also, your kids will probably nick it. I know a lot of mums and dads that have bought it for their business and then their children end up using it themselves. All you got to do is buy one of my courses and you will get a free tripod. Simply go to mumtomillionaire.com/YouTube. That's mumtomillionaire.com/YouTube. finally get confident with making your very own videos. Throw that fear away. This course is here to really help you to finally take action with social media. Get your business, get your brand out there. We only live once, so please stop wasting time and messing around. And to give you the extra push, wherever you are in the world, I will post this out free of charge as well. So it's a win-win for all of us. I will see you in the next episode. You keep being amazing. Stay positive, stay happy, be an emerald. Live in hope, and I will see you next week. Bye.